In the Beis Yosef, he says, "Rav Hamuvak sheretz limchol akvud v'chol advarma elu." So, if the Rav Hamuvak who wants to be mochel on all these things that we've spoken about so far, so he's allowed to do that. Obecha mehem l'chol tamida v'alecha mehem arushisvi. He has permission to do so. So, where does this come from? So, the Beis Yosef makes reference to a Gemara in Maseches Kedushin. Kedushin daf lamed beis, the bottom of lamed beis amad av, going on to lamed beis amad beis. That's a plukta damaraya parakam de Kedushin, and the Rif and the Rush paskin like Rav Yosef in that Gemara. The Amar Harav Shemachal Kavodu Kavodu Machal. Rabbi, he wants to mochel on his kavod, so he has the right to do so. Where do they learn it out from? Interestingly enough, so the Gemara there says, Rabbi Yosef Har Afilu Harav Shemachal Kavodu Kavodu Machal. Shemar VaHashem Huleich Lifnichem Yomam. That Hashem walked in front of them during the day. So what is it? So what? Right. So that's a lack of kavod for Hashem to lead Bnei Yisrael. So the fact that Hashem was mochel on his kavod, so to speak, in order to lead Bnei Yisrael, that demonstrates that he has the ability to be mochel on kavod. So the Amar Rava says, "Wait, hachi." I'm not. It's the Beis Yosef doesn't quote it for some reason. He's making reference to it. Now. I'm just quoting it to you. Plus, there's an interesting conclusion. Amar Rava, hachi hash. What do you mean? That's a Kodesh Baruch who created the world, right? In the Torah, the world this is the Torah is, right? So what if he's mochel? He has the right to be mochel. But who says that the Talmud Chacham has the right to be mochel on his kavod? It's not his Torah. So how do Amar Rava? So then Rava then answered up, meaning Rava raised that question. The Talmud Chacham, is it his Torah that he has the right to be mochel? So Rava responded, yes, Torah Dilehu, it is his Torah. The Chsiv V'Surah So Yega Yom V'Layla. It's in his Torah that he works on day and night. So his Torah. So therefore, it's okay. So then the Gemara asks, "Any really vaharava mashki behilula divrei that Rava gave out drinks for his son?" Vidale kasal Rav Papa ul Rav Huna berei de Rav Yeshua, v'kamu makame Rav Mari ul Rav Pinchas berei. Any vaharava mashki behilula that Rava distributed drinks. To
he literally usually means a wedding, doesn't
yeah, at the wedding of his kids. I mean, he distributed drinks at the wedding of his sons, and he gave a cup to Rav Papa, Ul Rav Huna, Berei de Rav Yeshua, V'kamu Makame, L'Rav Mari, Ul Rav Pinchas, Berei de Rav Chista, V'lo Kamu Makame. Then he gave to others, and they didn't get up from their place. And Ikbid, and he was Makbid on it, meaning. He gave out drinks to them, the assumption being that he was mochel on his kavod. They didn't get up, and he was strict about it. So, what do you mean Rav understood that Rav has the right to be mochel on his kavod? You see, Rav was machben on his kavod. So they answered, responded by saying that...
it could mean he got angry.
Right. He was angry. He was machbid. He was angry on it. So the Gemara answers by saying it tells another story as well that someone else gave out drinks and also they weren't happy about it. So afilu hachi hidur mi'avid luhu that he could have done something. They could have, even though he's not machbid on his kavod, such that they didn't have to get up, etc. They should have like leaned forward. They should have done some kind like a barfu bow. They should have done something in order to give kavod. That's what the Gemara says. So then that then gets brought down. So hold that in your mind as we head to the Shulchan Aruch as well. The Ram passings like that as well. Fine. Continues on. Just do the base Yosef for Lamed Gimel as well. The tour does not quote. Doesn't have a Lamed Gimel in the Torah that I see, but the Beis Yosef says, "Kashem shetalmidim chayv mekaved harav, kach harav tzarech lechaved talmida." What? Oh, there it is. I see it is there. Okay. But just as the Talmidim have to kavod to the Rav, the whole siman has been about kavod harav, so too the Rebbe has the has a requirement, it sounds like, tzarech or should, give honor to his Talmidim and be good to them. Right? Okay. So Akol Divrei, where does he get that from? So that all comes from the Rambam Perakim Mehilchos Talmud Torah. And then it says, "Shekach amru chacham yehikavu tamidcha chavi v'lav kishalcha," that your tamidim should be close to you like they're your own. That's also learned out from Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. And fine. Right, that line that I learned much from my rebbeim, from my talmidim, I learned the most of anything. So that's the Gemara in Maseches Titus. fine. So let's hold there. We'll come back for the next base Yosef to see what it says about this in Shulchan Aruch.
So the Talmud Chochan can't be Mochel because it's not his Torah.
So Talmud Chochan, no, that was the question. Then you left. He responded by saying,
I have to lower the air conditioning.
But then he responded by saying that we have another pasuk. That the other pasuk says, however, Surah so yegi yom abaleh, that it is his Torah, and therefore he has the right to be Mochel. Okay. But nevertheless, even if a Rebbe is Mochel, so still the Talmud should do something. The Talmud still should show some amount of kavod to the Rebbe, and that's why Rava was upset that the people, that they didn't give him, they didn't do any deference at all. I mean, he can be mochel on the full gamut of halachos here, but he shouldn't be totally but there should be something for the Talmidim to do. So what's that? So the Shulchan Aruch says here, Harav HaMuvak Shemachla Kvodo B'chol Advar Me'ilu, the Harav HaMuvak who's mochel and is covered for all of these things, O Be'echa Mehem, or for one of them, L'chol Talmidim O Le'echa Mehem, or for one of his Talmidim, or for all of his Talmidim, or for one of them. So he has the right, you know, whatever he wants. So Kvodo Machel, so his Kavod is Mochel. V'afal pi shemochel mitzvah la tamid lahodro. Still, even though he was Mochel, there is still a mitzvah on the Tamidim to give some type of hiddur. Maybe not the full extent of the Kavod, but there still is the mitzvah on the Talmud. That's the way that it's expressed in the Shulchan Aruch. V'asul levzoso. It's also that it is prohibited to be mevaze that Rebbe either. That's otherwise that would be bizayon tam chacham. It sounds like that he doesn't have the right to be mochel on. That's what the Rama seems to be adding here. So what is it? First, so he just in the Tshuvos here, he just adds in that first of all, the Rebbe A has to be. He really should say Balpet. I mean, just assuming that he's mochel on everything, plus he never bothered to announce anything, that doesn't mean that he was mochel. That's not enough. Rather, he has to say Beferish that I'm going to be mochel. And then he adds in at the end, he quotes from the Chazon Ish, look it up. He says, She'ein roi l'rav limchol tamid al kavod, that the Rebbe shouldn't be totally mochel on his kavod. I mean, he should still require some, and it sounds like leave, first of all, because of the chinuch aspect of it. I mean, there's a reason why these mitzvahs exist. And perhaps B, to give schar to the children, to give schar to the Talmidim. So this I recall paying a shiva call to Rabbi Lichtenstein, who said, I think he said from his parents or something, I forget, said for that. Parents, you know, we just kind of assume that parents are mochel on their children, that they don't have to stand up or they can sit in the parent's seat or things like that. So they should have to do the mitzvah. Why are you taking away the mitzvah of kivud av v'aim from them? It's the same thing with the Rebbe. Why should the Rebbe take away that mitzvah from the Talmidim by being totally mochel? So rather you should leave the mitzvah out there for them to do. Fine. And then the Shulchan Aruch and Lama Gimel then adds in, he kavud tamidcha chaviv alecha kishulcha, that the kavud of the Talmidim should be chaviv to you like you, so to speak. I mean, that you should have a care for them. So actually that's Kishelcha, that they should be like you. So what is that? So the Piskei Tshuva here makes a reference to the famous Chavos Yair and Simon Kuf Tzadi Beis. You take a look at the Piskei Tshuva Sif Chav Beis. He says Ayin B'Tshuvos Chavos Yair Simon Kuf Tzadi Beis. What does it say? There be Inyan Mashi Matzinu L'Pamim B'Shas, that we find very often in the Gemara. Kama Kantorim V'Zilzulim, that we find many insults and being mizalzel and mockeries of people, like we see in Yevamos Daftes, Damalei Rebbe Lelevi Kimeduma Li She'ein Moach B'Ked Kedo. Like when Rebbe said to Levi, it appears to me like you don't have a brain in your head. V'chein Kadnoim V'Shachiv Amar Laha Milsa. Or similarly, I think with regards to, I think Rava, it says somebody quoted, I think, Rava, and they said, oh, he must have been falling asleep when he said that. Or Milsa V'Kahina Rabim. And there's many other examples like this. Ayin Shamashikas Bazan. Look over there in the Chavos Yair, what he writes about this. So if you want a full list, I don't know, a full exhaustive list, but a couple years ago, my brother-in-law showed up. You've seen this book?
No, but I remember you gave it to Bar Tov.
Yeah, I did speak about this once. I quoted this Chavos Yair, but it was subsequent to that my brother-in-law brought me this book, Talmudic Insults and Curses by Arthur E. Heft, M.D., where he went through the entire Shas, at least probably to the best of his ability, he went through the entire Shas, gives an entire index here of insults that were given, and goes through them, you know, page by page, insult by insult. Now, I was hoping that he would give some kind of pshat, like he would go through them, but he doesn't. He really just quotes the Gemara. He kind of gives you a summary of the Gemara, what's surrounding it, and then just quotes what one person said to the other in it, without really giving any explanation as to why that is. But Mechavos Yair himself, he does discuss, he says, oh, by the way, it's Mechavos Yair that discusses these. So anyway, so Mechavos Yair happens to be quoted, printed in full. Rav Yair Bachrach, he, I believe, early 1700s or early 1800s? I think early 1700s. He quoted him before. What? Yes, yeah, definitely in Akram. So in the back of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, of all places. So he decides to put in the entire tshuva, this tshuva of the Chavos Yair. He just puts this tshuva there. Because, well, it's kind of strange that we just, you know, you learn all of Hilchos Lashon Hara, and then you come across all these lines in the Gemara where people are mocking that. So how do you deal with that? So it's somewhat lengthy, but just to summarize, so he says, Nishalti, I was asked, Ech achar de divri chacham menachas nishmayin, that people, the chacham should speak nicely. Benemar b'mishnah hi chavod chaver chaviv alech, kisholcha, that it says in the Mishnah that the chavod to your friends should be, like, very important to you. Eich matzinu pamim kantorim bizilzulim. How do we find so many times that there's insults and mockeries v'shas. Kenyan, and he gives those examples, Kad v'nayim v'shachiv Rav Amar l'ha v'shmaisa, that, oh, that Rav must have been sleeping when he said that, which, and there's many other examples like this. So he explains them one by one, not one by one, there's different categories is what they are. He says some of them are, it's not really an insult to say that it appears that does not a brain in your head, meaning I assume much better than you. Like it seems like it looks like you left your brain home today, but it's not like you to say such things, right? Or to assume that he must have been sleeping or things like that. So yeah, he must have been sleeping when he said that because there's no way he would have said that. So it's not really an insult. That's somewhat of a compliment, right? And then he continues on and says, that sometimes when Rabbi Levi said that there's a Gemara in Yevamos about Ein Lo Moach B'Kadkado, that there's no brain in your skull, Hainu Shemutu, that's a Rav to a Talmud. So Rav to a Talmud is always an exception, because Hainu Shemutu Le Rav, Lo Chiyach Le Tamidu B'Dvarim Kashmim G'day Luzarzim, that it is permissible for the Rebbe to give Musar to his Talmidim in a particularly sharp way. So there's a specific hetef with Rebbe with Talmidim, and that's and therefore that's appropriate. And then he has another one here, that sometimes there's things that you should, that there's like hints in what it sounds like, the insults. So there is a Gemara in Maseches Bava Basra when he says, Adachilta Kafnisa Bavavli. He says, while you were eating these sweet dates in Bavel, we were busy working on this far. Right? So it sounds like it's an insult, right? Where you're out there in Bavel hanging out, and we're working hard on Gemara. So he says, no, that the dates in Bavel are much more sweet than they were in Eretz Yisrael. So, and you can eat the dates much earlier on in the ripening process, and it will still be good. So that's what he was saying to him. You didn't let the svara fully develop. You were eating dates in Bavel, which seem edible early on, but they really are much better if you actually just wait it out a little bit and be a little bit more patient. And he gives a bunch of other more examples along these lines. Of I think he actually makes a comment in the middle that I'm not sure we can necessarily answer all of them, but you know, think along those lines rather than that they were just simply insulting one another. Anyways, that's the famous Chavos Yair quoted by the Piskei Tshuva here that anyone could find in the back of a Sefer Chavos Chaim. Okay, so let's go back to the Beis Yosef here. We've touched on this issue already before. So the Gemara in Masechta, towards the very end of Eilutzius, the last Mishnah in Eilutzius, so that demonstrates like a hierarchy of who you return things to first. So how should we do this? You could just go to the Beis Yosef here. So he says, Mishnah Sof Perek Beis Demtzia. The Mishnah is quoted in the Beis Yosef on Lama Dalad. Vedas Aviv, Vedas Rabbah, Muvak, Lefanov, Lahashiv, right? So you have your father's lost object and your Rebbe, Muvak's lost object, so you would return the Rebbe's first. So that's the Mishnah at the end of Perek Beis Demtzia. Avedas Aviv, Avedas Rabbah, Avedas Rabbah Kudemah. So if your father's lost object and your Rebbe's lost object, so your Rebbe's comes first. Imaya Aviv Shakul Keneged Rabbo. But if your father was shakul to your Rebbe, Avarata Aviv Kudemus, then your father's one will come first. That's a little that's not exactly what it says in the Mishnah. And it gives the story here in the Mishnah Bava Metzia. It says why she'aviv heviu lam hazev rabu shalom duchachma heviu l'chayel lam avav. Was your father brought you to this world, but your Rebbe is going to bring you to the next world? V'im aviv chacham shall aviv kodemes. That's what it says in the Mishnah. So that's not exactly the same as aviv shakul keneged rabu. Right, so that's a bit of a machlokas. Which what is the right girsa? How do we learn? I think it's machlokas Rambam against others. But the if your father is a tamil, either a tamil chacham or as the Beis Yosef is saying, equal to your rebbe, just you happen to learn by your rebbe instead of your father, so your father would come first, even though your rebbe is your rebbe muvak. Why would that be? So there's a little bit of a machlokas Rishon about why exactly that is. Basically, two over here in one of the footnotes quotes machlokas on this. It says one possibility is because bestama you learned something from your father. Meaning, so you have if you add kivud av and rebbe she'enu muvak, so then that would beat out Rebbe Muvak. So that's why that would win out. Or the second thing he just says is that let's say you never learned anything from your father. So he says, "Bikolmakom kodel rabo kiven shechay bechvodu gamidin tamal chacham," that he gets tamal chacham status. So your father is A, your father, and B, he's a tamal chacham. So that would then beat out Rebbe Muvak. But Rebbe Muvak versus a stam father, I'm Aretz father, so then Rebbe Muvak is going to win out. So I aviv v'rabo nosim masoi. Similarly, if the father and your Rebbe were both carrying burdens, maniach shel rabo b'achrach maniach shel aviv. You would take off your Rebbe's burden before you would take off your father's burden. Haya aviv v'rabo omd m'veis hashavi. Now, if your father and Rebbe were in a jail, podes rabo. Also, your Rebbe you would be podev achrach podes aviv. V'maya aviv tamal chacham. But if dad is a tamal chacham, podes aviv achrach podes rabo. But if dad is a tamal chacham, meaning not the same as the Rebbe. The Rebbe is a greater Tamil Chacham than dad. Still, Tamil Chacham would win out. Why would that be? Where does that come from? So he says, because of Arash, v'nira del inyan pidyo nefashos lo b'inan shekulim k'mo l'inyan hashava. That Arash says, when it comes to returning lost objects, the father has to be the same level as the Rebbe. But when it comes to pidyon nefashos, no, it doesn't have to be at that high a level. That somehow family wins out when it comes to zakanas nefashos. So v'chein mashma v'adei lishin d'masisin v'hai nakad im haya aviv shakol k'neged rabo v'hai nakad im haya aviv tamil chacham. That's what it sounds like from the Mishnah as well, if you repeat according to that girsa. The time of the milsim yishun d'v'pidyon shehem b'sakanas haguf, that when it comes to being poda from something that is dangerous, kivin she'aviv tamid chacham afal pish einu shachol karabo chayiv lahatzel nafsho minei shachas kodem kol adam, that you would still save dad before others. Aval avarato she'eno ella hefsid mamon, but when it comes to lost objects, which is only losing money, im einu shachol karabo, if he's not the same as your Rebbe, im yavar al das aviv miat einra, that if you lose, if you go against your, if you cause your father to lose a little bit, so no bad will come from it. And he says the same thing with carrying a burden. So that is that sounds like that is the din. Now there is a little bit of a stira in the Rambam that the Beis Yosef points out on the next page about what does the Rambam hold with regards to this. If the Rambam would hold by Aveda, if the father is a mere Tamil Chacham but not as great as your Rebbe, whether you would return his lost object first. The Rambam seems to paskin differently in two different places, and the Beis Yosef suggests on the bottom, although it doesn't get quoted the Lamaisa, this his answer, he says the difference if you already found your father's lost object object, and then you found your Rebbe's lost object. So if you already had your father's lost object in your hands, so then you wouldn't put it aside to get your Rebbe's lost object, even if the Rebbe is greater than your father. But if it's a choice between getting one of the two lost objects, so then Rebbe would win out over the father. That's the way he answers up the steer in the Rambam. So it's that's the way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Again, now how does a non-Rebbe Muvak play into this? Unclear. Although I would assume we would lean towards the idea of Rebbe Muvak as Manasseh. I would bet still would be somewhat applicable. However, there is a significant limitation that is placed upon it in the Rama. So how does it say it in Shulchan Aruch? So in Shulchan Aruch we say Reish Ben Beis Sif Lam Adalid. Avedas Aviv Vavedas Rabba. If you have a lost object from dad and a lost object from Rebbe, Hamuvak, right? Avedas Rabba Kudem. So then Rebbe's lost object comes first. Vimaya Aviv Shakul Keneged Rabba. But if dad is equal to the Rebbe, right, that language, Avedas Aviv Kudem. So then Avedas of the father would then come first. So, Haya Aviv Rabbo Nosim Masoi. Now, if they're both carrying burdens, Maniach Shal Rabbo, Vachach Maniach Shal Aviv, do take care of Rebbe's before dad's. Haya Aviv Rabbo Omdim Beves Hashavi. And if dad and Rebbe are in prison, Podes Rabbo Vachach Podes Aviv, Vimei Aviv Tamil Chacham. But if the Aviv just reaches the lower threshold of Tamil Chacham, Podes Aviv Achach Podes Rabbo. So then you would redeem him before you would redeem Rebbe. Now, if you take a look here in the Shach in Samach Dalet, he says, Podes Aviv, Ayin Lekaman Simon Rishnan Aleph Sif Tes. So what did it say there? Rishnan Aleph Sif Tes takes you to Hilchos Tzedakah. So in Hilchos Tzedakah there it says, if you have many poor people in front of you, it gives you the order of who you should give tzedakah to. And there it says, B'chol ha-gadol b'chach, towards the end of the test, B'chol ha-gadol b'chach al-chodom l'chaver, Yimaya echan mehem rabba o aviv, if one of them was your Rebbe or dad, Afal yishisham gadol mehem b'chachma, rabba o aviv shehu tamar chacham, kodom l'zeshu gadol mehmanu. And there's another person who's a big tamar chacham, your Rebbe and your father, that is a tamar chacham, would take precedence over them. Which sounds like what? It sounds like that even if the Rebbe father is only a Talmud Chacham, he would win out. But then he says, so he says, and so the Shach, there's a longer Shach here in Yud Zayin, where at the end he says that in this example, what is taking Tzedakah? Is Tzedakah comparable to a Shavas Aveda, or is Tzedakah comparable to Sakanas Nefashas, comparable to Pidyon Shvuyin? So the Shach seems to say that would be comparable to Pidyon Shvuyin, meaning that if someone needs Tzedakah, so then that would, even if dad is only a Talmud Chacham, and Rebbe is a greater Talmud Chacham than his, dad would still get precedent, because that would fit under the Pidyon Shvuyin exemption. Fine. So all of that is true. All of that is lahalacha. But then the Ramajan throws in a major caveat, certainly Bizman Azeh. He says, V'chein mifarik masa'o kodam l'rabo v'afbi she'enu shakal b'chach l'karabo. Similarly, you would remove the burden before kodam l'rabo. One second. Podes aviv achach podes rabo. V'chein mefarik masa'o kodem. Mefarik masa'o kodem l'rabo. V'afa pisha inu shakal b'chachma k'rabo. Oh, okay. So the Rama is saying that removing the burden is actually compared to the, what's it called? Compared to being taken out of prison. Removing a burden kodem before for the Rebbe. I guess for the father before the Rebbe, even though they're not equal. Okay, so it would be the same as prison. But when it comes to Shavas Aveda, that they have to be equal to, not if the father is on a lower level. Fine. Before you get to the last part of the Ramah, the Piskei Tshuva here in Chaf Gimel, I'm not sure why he's saying it here. but it's just an interesting ha'ara where he says, "I'm zeb tshuvas harad baz chilek beis simin tafshin nun hey ban hagas horos iser veheter os beis v'chein b'makom machlokas yachid v'rabim." Similarly, when you have machlokas, one person against many, so how do we always pass? Again, machlokas yachid v'rabim, we pass like the rabim against the yachid, right? That's the standard rule. It says, "I'm b'sheilas yavitz chel kasi mechufton zayin shechakar ameshe poske halacho somchim leilich acharob." It says, "I don't understand. Why do all the poskim rely on the majority?" Right, Deos Haposkim Kavur Larov Besfarim Valo Hakasuv Besefer Havi Kavua V'Iev Sherlevatlo Barov. That if something is written in a sefer, that has a din of kavua, right? And we talked about this in Taruvus and Simon Kuf Yud and Kuf Yud Aleph. What is the rule when you have a kavua, when you have something that is established in a particular place? We don't say it's batal. Rather, we say kol kavua kemetzal mechzadami. Anything that is established in a place is considered as if it's 50-50. So asks the rabbis here, why should we, or the yavits, why should we rely on anything that is... rely on a majority opinion against a minority opinion? The minority opinion is written down, therefore it's kavua, and therefore it should be considered as always 50-50. V'chein, and also, how can you mevatel das yachid berov minyan? V'arei amru davar shem minyan afilu be'elef lo batel. When you have something that is of significance, it doesn't get mevatel even when it's in a much larger amount. So it's a very interesting idea when it comes to psak. I have no idea why it's here. I think the Piskei Teshuva might be... Maybe this it's really supposed to be noted to maybe something in the Kali Hapsak of the Shach that's coming up. I'm not sure, but it's an interesting Haran in terms of Paskening Shaila's majority against minority. I wonder what Rav Avadia Yosef would say about that idea. But anyways, comes the end of the Ramah that sort of changes much of these halachos. He says, "Yesh omrim had the rabbi kodem la'aviv, haynu shalom made imo b'chinam." He says, this idea that where the Rebbe comes before the father, that's when the Rebbe is teaching the son for free. Aval im aviv sochelo, but if the dad is paying the Rebbe, sochelo Rebbe, umulamdo aviv kodem l'chol davar. Got it. The father comes before the Rebbe for everything. B'chein yirli ikar, and that seems to me the din. He's quoting from the Sefer Chasidim that the dad, he who pays the bills, he gets his stuff returned to him first. Comes the shach. The shach adds in here. Vali aviv sochel lo Rebbe. Lashon Sefer Chasidim so simin tav kuf pehei. Avedus rabo kodem lavedus aviv. That the stuff of the Rebbe comes before the object of the Rebbe comes before the object of the father. The zeu kashen avim maskeliv no. That's only when the father is not paying the rav. That the father is not paying to his son's Rebbe. Aval kashen avim maskeliv no rav. When the son is paying for the children to have a Rebbe, but Rav Loya Malam the Buchinim, and the Rebbe's not teaching them for free. As Avedas Aviv Kodemes, therefore the lost object of the father would come first. Vim HaRav Loya Rotzel Lamdo El Bischiros, and if the Rebbe only wants to pay him, only wants to teach for money, the Yehudi O Yehudim Nostim Lo Haschiros, and there are other Jews that are giving him that money, Lamdo, as Avedas Bal Hanosein Kodem. So then the Aveda, the lost object of the person who's paying the bill, of the donor, he comes before both the Rebbe as well as the father. So that is the famous shach here that got me, that led to perhaps my most embarrassing moment as a rabbi ever. I told the story. Right? I told the story before, right? That the when I was in yeshiva, so there the one day Marco's cats, I learned in the Marco's and Adina cats kolo for 4 years. Marco's cats showed up. He lives in Mexico, so all of a sudden he shows up once, you know, the whole time, and they had like a little luncheon for him where they invited a couple of guys in the yeshiva and etc. To go. So I think the Shabbos before, I happened to be eating at Rav Shechter, and I said at his house, and I said something about, "Oh, I hear Marco's cats is coming next week." He said, "Oh, you're going to the lunch? Great." So then that morning that he was coming, I see Rabbi Charlap go over to Rav Shechter. I see them talking to each other, and then I see Rav Shechter like pointing to me. Charlap comes over to me and says, "Oh, I hear you're going to the lunch today." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Could you give a Dvar Torah?" Okay. So I go and prepare a Dvar Torah and prepare this din. Prepare this as my Dvar Torah. So this idea that the donor is here, the donor wins out. So I go there. The whole story about, you know, I sat at the table with, it was me, the two lambs, the two Joels, the two Shechters, and the two katzes. That was me at this table. And Rav Shaftik gets up to speak right before me. And he gets up and he and he has this whole story. So I remember the first time I was ever flown to a wedding to be Masarik Dushan at a wedding. I show up at the boy's house, and the mother opens the door and says, "Ah, Rabbi Shachter, I've been waiting to have a word with you. My son told me that when this is the story Rav Shachter is telling. My son told me that if I was drowning in the ocean and you were drowning in the ocean, he would save you and he wouldn't save me." So Rav Shachter said, "I never said such a thing, and not only that, it's not even true, because when your son was learning in my shir, so you were paying his tuition, so therefore you would be able to be saved over me. But if if it was already in the kollel, etc., and we were both being drowning, so neither of us would be saved, rather Mr. Katz would be saved, because he's the one who gets to save all the..." That was my birth time. So, what do you do? What do you do at that point? I just got up and said it. He got a whole introduction. Chalap got up, made a whole introduction. "And now, Mr. Katz, I'd like to give you, this is the product of your work. Yonah grows, please give it to our Torah." And so some people pointed out that it was really good. You know, that, look at that. The Rebbe thinks just like, the Talmud thinks just like the Rebbe and prepared the same for our Torah. But anyways, this was the shach that led to that difficult...
But you said it inside. You said it with
yes.
You said it with with, okay.
No, no.
It's always a problem going second. Right. You always wonder.
It is. Yeah. No, so you have to clear it. You have to clear. You know, with whoever's going first. Sometimes.
Yes.
What are you going to talk about?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's something I feel like.
Well,
okay.
All
right. What's that? My son.